Okay. So last week, Silas almost broke my record. So today, I will defend my title. I will end early. Anyway, okay, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we welcome you among our midst. May your word today enrich each of our hearts. And may the Holy Spirit teach and guide us so that we may receive your wisdom and your guidance. Help us grow in our faith and in our love for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we continue on the H&M series, His Name Matters. So God uses many names in the Bible. Every one of His name is special. And every name carries a specific meaning. In this series, we explore some of God's name and to learn more about His character, who He is through His names, right? And today I will be covering Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Yeah, Jehovah Sidkenu. So depending on which version of the Bible you are referring to or taking reference against, the word righteousness and its associated word righteous are mentioned more than 500 times in the Bible, depending on which version of the Bible you go to. But about 500 times. And as shown in the table, the name Jehovah Sidkenu is only mentioned twice in the whole Bible. And both mentions are found in the Old Testament, in the book of Jeremiah. The first one is in, it's too small, but the first one is mentioned in Jeremiah 23, verse 6, and the other is found in Jeremiah 33, 16. So if you turn your Bible to Jeremiah 23, this is where God's name, Jehovah Sidkenu, was first mentioned. So if you turn to Jeremiah 23, we start from verse 6. I'm taking reference from the New King James Version. So it said in verse 5, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. The king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth." And then verse 6, which is the key verse. "In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. And this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Sidkenu." In the NIV version, it is translated as "the Lord, our righteous Savior." And if you turn to Jeremiah 33, 15 to 16, this is where the second time the name Jehovah Sidkenu was mentioned. Right? So if you turn to Jeremiah 33, we again start with the preceding verse. Verse 15, it says, "In those days, and at the time, I will cause to grow up to David a branch of righteousness. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth." And then verse 16, "In those days, Judah will be safe and Jerusalem will dwell safely. And this is the name by which she will be called, the Lord our righteousness." For those of you who have a sharp eye, you will notice the key difference between Jeremiah 23 verse 6 and Jeremiah 33 verse 16 is Jeremiah 23 is a he, right? And then Jeremiah 33 is a she. So why the difference between the he and the she, right? So most interpretation explains that in Jeremiah 23, FYI, the most interpretation says that in Jeremiah 23 verse 6, right, Jeremiah was actually prophesying the righteous branch, i.e. Jesus Christ, that he will come and reign as king over the people who have been scattered by the false rulers. And then whereas in Jeremiah 33:16, Jeremiah was actually referring to Jerusalem, the city itself. That's why it's a she, right? And then through his righteous branch, again Jesus, the city of Jerusalem will be rebuilt following its destruction by Nebuchadnezzar. Anyway, coming back, so what is interesting is in both Jeremiah 23 and as well as Jeremiah 33, Jeremiah actually described Jesus as a righteous branch, right? from the line of David. As a matter of fact, in the chapter 23, it's even titled as the righteous branch. Okay, first thing first. Just like to share something interesting about this assignment. It's amazing that Jeremiah used the metaphor of a branch, right? Wood, to describe Jesus. So when I saw that, I knew this assignment was from God. As you all know, Daniel doesn't put too much thought into planning our speaking session. He doesn't spend time on this kind of thing. He'll just assign whoever comes to mind, you know, whoever get it, or whoever is available, get it, right? In other words, the assignment is, for most people will consider, or non-believer will consider, random, right? But we Christians, as you all know, we don't call this chance or coincidence. These are God's plan, or what I like to call voices of God, right? God is speaking to us. So, as mentioned before, one of the things that I value a lot is having conversations with God. And so these little things, you know, little voices of God, are fascinating. As a matter of fact, it's a great encouragement as it demonstrates God's presence and His intimacy with us. So He is among us. Anyway, what am I talking about? Coming back. If you all remember, where am I? Okay. I just did extensive coverage on wood in my last sharing in Jehovah Rapha. Remember? No? Okay. To refresh your memory. Do I have the slide? Ah, I do. Okay. To refresh your memory. Last sharing in Exodus 15, 22 to 27. Moses led the Israelites out of the Red Sea into the desert of Sphur for 3 days. In the desert, they couldn't find water, right? Then they came to Marah, where the water was unfit for drinking, as it was bitter. The Israelites were thirsty. They were desperate for water. They complained, grumbled, or in Psalms, it even says they rebelled against the Lord. So Moses cried out to the Lord. Remember what God gave Moses? A piece of wood. And if you remember the question I shared, right? Why did God give Moses a piece of wood when they were thirsty, right? And how did Moses get the inspiration of throwing the wood into Marah to turn it into drinking water? Well, there was no answer that was documented in the Bible, right? And then I even went on to draw similarities with another wood story. And this is with Prophet Elijah from 2 Kings 6, verse 1 to 7. So one of the students were cutting down a tree, and he dropped the iron axe into the water. In those days, the axe is precious, right? So the student cried out as it was borrowed. And Prophet Elijah then cut a stick, i.e. a piece of wood, and then he threw it into the water. And miraculously, the axe floated to the surface, and they were able to retrieve it. In both incidents, the wood represents the cross of Jesus Christ on the cross. And the act of throwing the wood into the water represents His sacrifice, right? So when I saw Jeremiah that used the same metaphor of a wood in today's topic, I thought it was amazing. It's definitely not a coincidence. As I said, Daniel doesn't plan this kind of thing. In case you are not as amazed as me, let me just put this into perspective, summary. I like data, so I'll do this in statistics. Okay, FYI. Does not Daniel briefly share? So in this H&N series, we have 9 sessions. Nine sessions altogether. Today is the 7th session. Right? Out of these 9 sessions, we will actually be covering, at least based on the roster, we'll cover 8 of God's name under His compound name of Jehovah. So why only 8 when there's 9 sessions, which Daniel just shared, right? In the last session, i.e. the 9th session, we will be having a guest speaker who will be likely to be doing a summary. So there's no specific name that was assigned. So anyway, 9 session, 8 names, and we have a total of 6 speakers in this series. 9, 8, 6. Total. Not enough. 4D also not enough. You need one more. Okay, question. Test your maths. What's the probability of me being assigned to speak 2 times in this series of 9 sessions? Maths question? No. Any guess? Answer? 0. So for those of you who have been following this series, right, you will know by now, I don't like to talk. I don't speak a lot. No, not very often. You know. And so far, I've only been assigned to share maximum, once per series. Thank God. Not that I'm complaining, but I think God knows I don't like to talk. I'm a man of few words, right? So far, I'm only assigned maximum once per series. This is the first time I've been assigned to speak twice in a series. I'm blessed to be So if you ask any generative AI, what's the probability of that happening? He'll return you the answer, 0. You know why? Because based on historical data, it has never happened before. Right? Now, if that's not amazing enough, in this series, out of the 8 names, only 2 of God's names involve the use of wood as the metaphor. Right? So the first one, of course, is today. We just go through. Jeremiah prophesies Jesus as a righteous branch. Wood, right? And then the other name, the other God's name that involves wood, I just told you the answer. Jehovah Rapha, right? Where God gave Moses a piece of wood to turn Mara into drinking water. So now, of all of the 6 speakers, who was the one that was assigned to cover both names that involve wood? Me, lah. Now, in statistics, this is termed as conditional probability. Any teacher here? So in other words, the probability of the event happening given that the first event has occurred. See, my math's not bad. Right. So question, next question. What's the probability of that happening? Right. See, given the first event is really quite rare, what's the probability of me, given I'm only speaking twice, right, to be assigned both to speak on wood? Well, it's divine. Can only be God, right? That's why it's amazing. The same was with Royston's sessions, right? So if you all remember, he was tasked to talk about Jehovah Nissi, right? The Lord, our banner. And if you all remember, it talks about the first war in the Bible by the Israelites. And again, I don't think Daniel planned this kind of thing. But who's the best person in church to talk about warfare? Royston. Right? God is amazing. He is among us. Okay. But the question here is, so when I saw this, obviously I was amazed. But the question I had for God was, why is it that Royston get the banner, I get the wood? Banner makes perfect sense. But wood... why is it I get wood? So I ponder on this for a long while, and I think finally I figure out the answer. And for this, maybe I should blame Daniel. Why? Because Daniel always likes to call me the stick man, right? You know, stick man? Stick man. This stick man? So when God needed somebody to talk about wood, you remember gun, stick man, wood. So, kana, both wood. Anyway, joke aside, the point I'm trying to say or share here is the little details of these are all engineered by God. Right? They are voices of God. And God is among us. He is with us. He always speaks to us. I would encourage all of you to experience this yourself. Open up your heart. Make an effort to listen. You will hear Him. It's an amazing experience. Wait, coming back to today's topic. Jehovah Tsidkenu. What can we learn about God's character from his name, right? Number one, God is righteous. I mean, it's obvious, right? His name is Jehovah Tsidkenu, which means Lord our righteousness. So, obviously, he is righteous. The name or the word, the Hebrew word Tsidkenu is derived from the word Tzedek, which means righteousness, right, honest, just, true, integrity. So the common definition of righteousness is often associated with achieving fairness and just. In other words, obedience with a certain legal system, right? So if you commit a crime, you are prosecuted by law. Conversely, if you do well, you are rewarded. But God's righteousness is beyond simply just and fair, right? He's more than just a fair and just judge. And here we see that in Jeremiah 23. Okay, the context behind the book of Jeremiah. For many centuries, the Israelites and its leaders broke the covenant with our Lord, right? So they committed sins, adultery, idolatry, worshipping other gods, and so on, right? So God sent numerous prophets to warn them of the impending judgment if they do not turn back from their sins. Unfortunately, the hearts of the Israelites were hardened. They ignored these warnings. As a result, the nation was dispersed. So at the time when Jeremiah wrote this book, Jerusalem had been destroyed and the Israelites were in exile. Right? So Jeremiah was actually known as the weeping prophet. You know, he grieved over the wickedness of his people and he grieved over the judgment imposed by God for the sins of the Israelites. And Jeremiah responded to the people's revelation with tears of mourning. So God punished the Israelites because of their unrighteousness, unfaithfulness. But notice the paradox here, right? Despite their unfaithfulness, despite the punishment, which is fair and just, God still promised them in Jeremiah 23 the good news, right? As a matter of fact, this promise in Jeremiah 23 and in Jeremiah 33 is one of those places in the Old Testament that explicitly points to the coming of Jesus, the Messiah. And not only that, God also promised that one day he will gather his sheep from all the countries from of their exile back to the promised land. So God's righteousness is more than just being a fair and a just God or judge. It comes with love. So in other words, the righteousness of God is not just about justice and fair. It comes with love. You know, and my kids once told me, "Daddy, you are very scary when you're angry." I said, yeah. As a matter of fact, they told me, even their friends say the same thing. So Ting Wei Jie, your daddy is very scary when he's angry. I said, yeah. But I asked my kids, right, why am I angry in the first place? Right. Is it not because you, the kids, make me angry? If you don't make me angry, I will not be scary, right? Anyway, there's a lot of parents here, right? Which of you parents take delight in punishing or scolding your kids? No, right? I mean, if any of you take delight in scolding or punishing your kids, later see me. We need to pray for you. But no, right? No parents in the right mind enjoy scolding or punishing our kids. But we wrap him on our kids because we love them, right? We don't want them to learn the bad things. We need them to realize their mistakes. And we don't want them to take the wrong path. So parents go and punish our kids because we love them. The day we don't scold or punish is when we have given up hope on them, right? And as parents, we never give up on our children. Ooh, sorry. The same is with our Heavenly Father. So when we make mistakes, we sin, sometimes, He has to punish us, right? Not because He enjoys it, but because we have drifted too far from Him. And the only way for us to get our act together, to get back to Him, sometimes, is through certain situation, certain difficult situation that He has put us through. Right? It pains our God to punish us, right? But sometimes He has to do so because He loves us. Just like what we saw here in the book of Jeremiah, right? The Israelites were punished for their sins. But at the same time, God promised them the good news that He will send His Messiah, the righteous King, to gather the scattered sheep and bring them back to the promised land. This is the righteousness of our God, Jehovah Tsidkenu, a righteousness that comes with love. And if you remember the testimony I shared in the previous sharing about Dr. Richard Teo. So in the beginning, Dr. Richard Teo was preoccupied with his riches, right? He was doing very well in life. So when his friends invited him back to church, his heart was hardened. He rejected them. He shared that he even challenged God, right? He challenged God for a sign, right? He said, God, if you are real, show me a sign, right? Who would have thought the sign that came was to be diagnosed with stage 4 terminal lung cancer. And then one day, when he was in the operating theatre all by himself, he had an encounter with God. And this was the message he said from God. Right? He says, this has to happen to you at your prime because it's the only way for you to understand. Right? So when Dr. Teo heard the voice, he broke down and cried. So again, coming back, sometimes God has to put us through certain difficult situations to rescue us, to bring us back to Him. This is the righteousness of our God. So Hebrews 12, 5, 6 summarizes nicely. This is what the Lord says. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when He rebukes you. Verse 6, because the Lord disciplines the one He loves. Right? He only disciplines the one He loves. And He chastens everyone He accepts as His sons. So He only disciplines those He considered as His sons. This is our Lord, Jehovah Tsidkenu. He is where love and righteousness meet. So the first point, God is righteous, and this righteousness is beyond just and fair. He is, or this righteousness is with love. Second point, God demands righteousness. Right? So from here, we can also see God expects us to pursue righteousness. And incidentally, this is our theme verse for this year, right? Micah 6:8, you all should know by now. He said, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good and what is required. What does the Lord require of us? Act justly, i.e. pursue righteousness, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. And similarly, in Proverbs 15:19, this is King Solomon, right? King Solomon said, the Lord detests the way of the wicked. He loves those who pursue righteousness. So God hates people who follow the ways of the wickedness, i.e. sins. And He loves those who follow the ways of righteousness. So question, how do we pursue righteousness? And what is then the benchmark or standard that is required of us? So Isaiah 33:22 tells us God is our ultimate lawgiver, right? So, i.e., God's righteousness is the only benchmark. because God demands complete perfection. So if God's righteousness is a benchmark, it's impossible for any of us to achieve this, at least not by our own effort, right? Because the standard is simply too high, and we have all fallen short. And this is what Apostle Paul summarized in Romans 3:10. No one, right? No one is righteous, not even one. Here, Paul proclaimed that everyone, Jews and Gentiles alike, we are all under sin. And then he quoted from Psalms 14, verse 1 to 3, where David wrote the same message, that not even one is righteous. This included Apostle Paul himself, who acknowledged that every one of us, including him, are under sin. Right? So here lies the problem, right? God alone is righteous, and we men have fallen short, right? Isaiah 64:6 tells us that man's own righteousness is actually like a filthy rag to God. Right? So verse 6, it says, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We shiver like a leaf, and at like winds, our sin swept us away. So then the question is, how can man be righteous then before God? Right? Same question that one of Job's friend asked in Job 25, 1-6. You'll read yourself. But essentially it says there that how then can mortal be righteous before God? How can one born of woman be pure if even the moon is not bright? Or, and the stars are not pure in his eyes, how much less a mortal who is but a maggot, a human being who is only a womb. So he described human as a maggot, as a womb. We are not righteous before God. So question is, how can man then be righteous before God? As we read in Jeremiah, to save us, God sends us his son, right? The branch of righteousness. Man can only be righteous through Christ. And as we know, this righteousness from God is not earned, but given to us through an exchange. And on the cross, Christ took our sin, became our sin, in exchange so that we may receive his righteousness. And this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe in him. And this is nicely summarized in Romans 3:21 to 26. It says in 21, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophet testifies. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jews and Gentiles, and for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did so to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. So which leads to my next point, right? The only source of righteousness is from God. So God is our only source of righteousness. Which is why I thought it was interesting. In this two chapter, Jeremiah uses the branch of righteousness as the metaphor, as the righteous branch from the line of David to describe Jesus, right? When I first read these passages, the first thing that comes to my mind was grafting. Right? You know grafting? As you all may know, I like durian, right? By the way, it's durian season. Still expensive, but soon. Anyway, grafting, yes. So the definition of grafting, this is from Wikipedia. Grafting is defined as a technique whereby tissues or plants are joined so that they continue to grow together. Right? The upper part of the plant is called scion. The lower part is called a rootstock. So why do farmers perform grafting? Sometimes it's to shorten the time for the plant to bear fruit. Right? For example, let's take Mao San Wan, for example. If you take a Mao San Wan seed, right, you plant on the floor, it will take for it to take to grow into a tree and for it to bear fruit, it will take about 8 to 10 years. It's not days or months, years. Right? But grafting can actually reduce this by 4 to 6 years. I mean, you'll reduce this, yeah, to 4 to 6 years. But there's another reason why farmers use grafting. And that's when the existing tree are not productive or produce poor quality. And here I found some pictures from the internet. Yeah, so picture one, you can see the farmers chopping down the unproductive tree, right? So they cut it down. And then the next set of pictures, pictures two, the farmer then graft essentially a branch from a good tree that they have known that is producing good Mao San Wang, right? Just stick the, literally tape the branch onto the rootstock of an unproductive tree. And then in picture three, you can see that the branch has actually fused into the rootstock and it starts to grow together with the rootstock. And in the last picture, picture four, the shoot has grown on top of the old rootstock and is starting to bear fruits. Why are we talking about Mao San Wang? Wait, let me come back. Jeremiah. Oh yeah, I should have titled this today's sharing, Jeremiah and the Mao San King. Right? Yes. So, in Jeremiah, the Israelites were unrighteous, right? So, for their unrighteousness, they were punished into exile. But as discussed, our God is a loving God. He loves us so much, He sends us a righteous king, Jesus, right? And I thought it was interesting. Right? He sends a righteous branch to an unrighteous group of people to turn them into righteousness, right? Just as the Mao Shan Wang grafting process, right? By ourselves, we are unproductive. We cannot bear fruit, or we produce poor quality fruit. So God sends us the righteous king, right, Jesus, and he grafts us this branch of righteousness so that we may bear, not Mao Shan Wang, but to bear the branch of righteousness. Right? So he sends us this branch of righteousness so that he is our righteousness. That's why in 2 Corinthians 5:21 it says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Okay, in summary, what can we learn from the name Jehovah Sitkanu? Number one, God is righteous. And his righteousness is beyond fair and just. It comes with love. Number two, God demands righteousness, or demands righteousness. By our own effort, we cannot achieve this righteousness, which is why, point three, God is our only source of righteousness. Okay, I end with another story. So by right, today, I'm supposed to end with this slide on baptism. Because originally last week was supposed to be baptism class, and today, by right, we're supposed to have baptism after my sharing. But last Thursday, Daniel messaged us, the counselor, right, that Wai Kyong, who is one of the baptism candidates, had requested to postpone his baptism as he couldn't make it for last Saturday's class, and his daughter can't make it for today's baptism. You know, she has to attend NDP. And having a daughter to witness his baptism is important, right? We want the family to celebrate together with our candidates. Right? So Daniel sends a message to ask us, the council, shall we reschedule for one person? So interestingly, in the chat, one person agreed, second person concur, done. It's just like... But as I shared with the council, what was amazing was, interestingly enough, we just talked about this the week before in our cell group. You know, I started the sharing with Voice of God, right? So I think this is God's plan. I didn't plan to end with this, but I think it's God's plan. What happened was 2 weeks ago in our cell group, we were discussing about how to grow this church, the house of Lord, or house of our Lord. I'm sure all of you agree, we want to make this a church that people want to come, to be the best church in Singapore, JB, and maybe Batam. More importantly, we want every one of us to grow from favor to favor, that everyone here grow in our walk with Christ, right? So we were discussing, and one thought that has always been on my mind was, you know, we are like a startup, right? And we have a number of strengths. Number one, we are nimble, we're agile, and these are the best assets that God has given us at this point in time. We should make the best of this, right? But that day, the discussion ended, you know. I mean, we know the theory, but how to apply? Don't know. And exactly a week later, here, through this baptism incident, God showed us how to apply this assets. Right? So, that's why immediately I shared with the council, this is something interesting. Right? Which other church in Singapore can do this? Right? To shift a planned event, I mean, just like that. Right? I mean, shifting the event is one thing. But to do this over 3 lines of message on the messaging app, which church can do this? Now, just to clarify, does it cause us inconvenience? Of course it does. It still does, right? Because we have other candidates, right? So we have to inform other candidates, you know, and then have to shift everything. So definitely there was inconvenience. But can we do it? So I don't know about other churches, but here at 252 Agora, at this moment, we can. And if the person cannot come to the mountain, we shift the mountain to the person. Right? This is the power that God has given us at this point in time. Anyway, what's the moral of the story? In case you all don't remember what I've been talking about, don't understand what I'm talking about, if there's only one message you should walk away today, this is the message. Make time to hear God's voice. You know, make time to hear God's voice. Especially for those of you who have not experienced it, I encourage you to try. It's an amazing experience. And for those of you who used to hear words, now cannot hear for a long time, you are not hearing from God anymore, come back to Him. You know, the evil one clog our life with a lot of distractions. Work, family, money, health issues, you know. Not that they are not important, but today God's reminder to us is make time to hear His voice. He enjoys having conversations with us. And I end with this famous verse. Right. So the context, Jesus was teaching this at the Sermon on the Mount. In the preceding text, Jesus was telling His people, do not worry, right? Do not worry about the needs of this world. Do not worry about your life. Do not worry about what you eat, what you drink, or your body, what you're going to wear. Do not store up treasures for yourself on earth. And then in Matthew 6:33, Jesus started by saying, but, you know, but. So do not worry, but. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. And what is amazing as well, again, I didn't plan this, right? But for those of you on the chat, will remember, yesterday, what is the verse of the day for yesterday at 10 p.m.? This is by Leslie. I mean, he took it from Luke 12, right? But here is Matthew, but same verse. It says there that, then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear." And then, of course, he went on to say that, I thought it was a nice message. Even though we are in a world full of disappointment and frustration, God reminds us that never to worry about anything. God is ready to take care daily of everything we need. He will help us to survive in the most challenging situations. It is the smallest of things God can do for us. But He will indeed supply every one of our needs. Right? So, exactly the same message. We didn't plan this. But the key thing to note here is the following verse, as I said, Jesus start by saying, but. So do not worry, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. So my encouragement for all today, make time to hear God's voice. Okay, let's end with a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your reminder to have regular conversations with you. For those of us who have not heard your voice or have lost the hearing of your voice, we pray for your covering over us. We pray that you will remove all the stress, workload, anxiety, illness that has clogged our hearing. Help us to make time to seek your kingdom and your righteousness. Lord, you are Jehovah Sitkanu. You are the name above all names. You are our righteousness. Graft into each of us the branch of righteousness. May your righteousness propagate in our lives and may it resonate to our families and the people around us. Let us be fruitful. May we multiply your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Check 1, 2. If you listen to people like Gunn, you think that I got no brains. Plan, schedule, never think. Oh, 9 times choose him, twice never think. I want you to go to John 15. I think Jeremiah talks about, did the Gunn say that Jesus is the branch of righteousness, right? Let's look at this garden mythology and also the branch. Can you go to John 15 with me? And I want to just bring the service to them. Elvin, good to see you with your wife. Thanks for coming. Can you go to John 15 as we go to this methodology of gardening? Go to John 15, 1. Jesus, the true bride, the true vine, right? At the same time, we talk about Jesus being the branch of righteousness in Jeremiah, the gun that's just talked about. 15, 1, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. I like this analogy. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he produces the branch, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they'll produce even more. I'll say it again. John 15, 1 and 2, I'm the true grapevine, and my Father's the gardener. My Father cuts off every branch of mine, meaning Jesus, that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they'll produce even more. Sometimes when I read this and you talk about pruning, I remember we talk about pruning. Pruning is not a very nice thing. I don't know why. I remember running a cell group and your husband, also known Daniel Goh. I remember when we talk about it, I talked about 15:1 before. I talk about pruning. Sometimes when God prunes us, it's not very nice to be pruned. Have you had a haircut and then you find that a couple of days, so the first day, your haircut, the hair doesn't look very nice. Not that you go and prune your hair, you cut hair, right? But the first day when you go and cut your hair, the hair's not very set. I mean, for me, at least the first day, not very nice. Day 3, day 4, the hair is better. I don't know whether it's that for the ladies. So the first day when you cut, it's like, it's a bit raw. But after day 4, day 5, then it looks better, right? For people like Winnie, maybe every day also look nice, but that's beside the point. But some of us, when we cut the first day, it's like pruning your hair, it's not very nice. And then I've been thinking about John 15:1, 15:2, but it says here in verse 2, he cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. So the point is, if you're not even producing fruit, you're cut off completely. But he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they'll produce even more. So who gets pruned? The branch that produces fruit. So when we talk about the branch of righteousness, that's Jesus, but Jesus also has a lot of branches, right? And we are the branches. He cuts off every branch that doesn't bear fruit. If you are not bearing fruit at all, full stop, you're cut off. Zero, kapuf, finish, finito. But he prunes the branches that do bear fruit. Why? So they'll produce even more. And today, I want to tell you, the church is being pruned. Whenever we do things sometimes, I don't know, do you have problems at work? Do you, when you, although you listen to God and you have the name of God and we talk to the name of God, there are difficulties at work. Maybe finances are not the best. Children are not listening to you. Some of us listen to God. You think God will answer you, but you don't listen to, you can't hear him. But as we come before the Lord, I want you to be encouraged. As we talk about the branch of righteousness, he will cut off the branch that doesn't produce fruit. But if you're being pruned today, I've got encouragement to you. Why are you being pruned? Because you are bearing fruit. And why is God pruning you more? Why is he pruning you now? Because you produce more fruit. So if you're being pruned today, if you're going through difficult times, and some of us are, I mean, I've got so many problems I need to deal with, but I just focus on God. And God, if you allow me to be pruned, if sometimes our attitudes need to be pruned, sometimes when God prunes us, it's not only prune on something physical, could be pruning our attitude. Maybe your attitude sucks like me. Sometimes I think of something, wow, why this, why that? God continues to prune. I will learn something. A couple of days back, there's some things that I need, I thought I should. The typical, usual Daniel would have dealt with it immediately. The thing come, I straight with you. But there's this particular thing that I've not dealt with for the longest time. To me, long means 1 week. Because God say, you just wait. And you just wait until I allow you to say, okay, now open your mouth. Isn't that pruning? Isn't it sometimes when you're just prepared to do something? Sometimes when people say something bad about you, do you not want to just come back? Sometimes when you're in court, when people say something, you feel like just wanting to rebut. But are there times whereby in the process of being pruned, God tells you, be patient, wait. Remember Psalm 27, verse 6 just now? Wait patiently for him. And by being patient and waiting for him, actually, you're being brave and courageous. Some of us cannot wait. I'm like that. But as I hear from Gan, I want to just end by saying it is good to just wait on God. I was reading a book and I, for some reason, I wanted to just find. Have you had this go before? Sometimes when you want to look for something, you read something in the book, you want to find that thing. I just read it today. And I've been sitting there a bit distracted, trying to find, because I brought the book, trying to find that thing I want to talk about. I cannot find it. Have you tried to find something that you cannot find, Cindy? I've seen it. I really saw it. For some reason, my eyes are blinded. I cannot find it. I've been sitting there beside Carrie. I've been flipping and flipping. I say, God, what's happening? I cannot find it. I just cannot find it. And do I look stupid to you? I cannot find it. It's like you want to do something. God is telling me, no, you're not doing it. That's pruning for me. You know? I'm being pruned. I really want to find it. And today, it naturally, by following it, I will do it. But guys, our agenda may not be God's agenda. What you want to say is not what God wants you to say. And so I'm coming here wanting to say something I couldn't, but as I hear Gan talk about the branch of righteousness, I'm reminded that God is pruning us. Why? Because he loves us. And number two, if Winnie or you, Mother Joey, disciplines your child, it's because you love the child, right? If you don't love the child, that's it, man. You don't talk to the child and leave the child and you just don't do anything to the child, non-communications. Then that's a different story. But why we discipline those people we love, God prunes those that are producing fruit. But as we produce fruit, this one I can share. For a long time, a legend circulated that the writer Arthur Conan Doyle, best known for creating the character Sherlock Holmes, this is what he did last time. He sent a prank telegram. Last time telegram. Sherlock Holmes times. Now also got telegram, right? Apparently now telegram is the default. Better than your WhatsApp and what have you. And now Facebook got one thing called Threads, isn't it? He sent a prank telegram to 12 leading figures in the British society. The telegram was unsigned. It simply read, "Flee, all is revealed." That's all the telegram said. Unsigned. I sent it to 12 people. I sent it to those people who are like the Mubu Shaker. I sent to Winnie Gunn, Jonathan, whatever. It says here, telegram unsigned simply reads, "Flee, exclamation mark, all is revealed." As the legend goes, within 24 hours, all 12 had left the company. Had left the country. Sometimes when God prunes us, a lot of things that He prunes us, we don't want people to see, right? We flee. So when that telegram was sent, "Flee," all we revealed, that fellow doesn't know what, but scared, quickly leave the country, which is why some criminals, once you have something, you quickly leave the country and then you nap in the border with you. I want to tell us, as believers, it is okay to be pruned by God. Don't run away. As we come before the Lord, as we hear His name, and there's some things He wants to do in our lives, can I encourage us to just stand firm before Him and He will deliver us. He is our King. He is the gardener God. And then we have Jesus. He is the true vine. He Himself is a branch of righteousness. We are the branch that can be used by Him. I want to encourage us as we come. I want you to take a stand before the Lord and really pray. Really, I'm reminded yesterday, just reading the 70-year-old, my law lecturer, such a brilliant man. Was he an engineer? And then after that, also went to Oxford, the usual, very smart guy. Have you seen you go and check out the vigilante thing. Really, just a loss of life. Drive a car, come crash into your road. What can you do? There's nothing you can do. And the best part, not the best part, not so good thing is I think he was conscious for a while and then must have suffered a lot of pain and then he succumbed. 2 years ago, I have a former church friend, same thing. Some of you may even know him. His name is Ken Wong. 2 years ago, driving a cab, waiting in a car, stationary. Another car comes from tremendous speed, careening down the path. Dividers between the roads, those green color metallic ones, the speed is so bad, it crashes through the thing, pierces right into my friend. No chance. On the spot. Why am I talking about this? I'm just reminded that things are moving. There's so many things that are moving. You just don't know when. But can we just come before God? Anything we need to do for God, be that branch that's fruitful, do it for Him. Righteousness is what? If I ask you now, if I ask Winnie, if I ask Jordan, so define, lawyers, right? Define righteousness. What is righteousness? One sentence, give me. What is righteousness, Shireen? When I say righteousness with God, what is that? And with that, I end. I ask Silas and Karen to come. Maybe the two of them come out now. Elvin, before you go, what is righteousness? Hey, don't give me a chim answer. What's righteousness? Anybody? Joey? Righteousness to me is just the right relationship with God. When you have a right relationship with God, you know what? You do things for God. There are people like Brian and Tiffany, young people, come after a while, just come join us, now serving as children leaders. But when you get right relationship with God, you will do things for God and God will touch you. You will continue to be that branch that becomes fruitful. Isn't it? What's righteousness? The right relationship. So that if God reminds you, Angela, can you go and visit this person and be a blessing? Angela will go. And if June needs to, in working in an acute ward or whatever, you need to go and talk to some patient, God says, don't go home. Today, go and talk to the patient. Spend half an hour. Do, and then you go. Are there things that God, when we are being pruned by Him, we will do for Him because the King has called? I want to just leave that as a thought and as we come before Him. We'll just take this opportunity, about 30 seconds, and then we're going to sing this song, "You Are My King." Come before the Lord. And remember, you are forgiven. You are a branch that is being pruned because God loves you. He disciplines those He loves, but He continues to prune us. Hear the name. God is also righteous. If you do something wrong, you'll be punished. Right? But He loves us. Will you come before the Lord and get yourselves ready as you worship Him? Thank you, Jesus. Will you stand before Him? I'm forgiven because You were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. And I'm alive and well. Your Spirit is within me because You died and rose again. From the top, I'm forgiven. Sing to the Lord Jesus. Thank Him.
I'm forgiven because You were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. And I'm alive and well. Your Spirit is within me because You died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that You, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor You in all I do. I honor You. Amazing love, how can it be that You, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor You in all I do. I honor. Sing Amazing Love one last time. Sing to the Lord Amazing Love. Amazing love, how can it be
that You, my King, should die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor You in all I do. I honor in all I do. In all I do. I
one more time, last time, in honor of You.
In all I do. I honor You.
Receive in Your Spirit, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which you will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. Father, we thank You as we come before You. Lord, thank You that we are the branch that is being pruned. Lord, we accept the pruning. And for those of you, some of us are being disciplined and you're being pruned, will you receive the pruning? Not that you like to be punished, but come before the Lord and just receive the pruning. Will you hear from God? I pray for you right now in Jesus' name, that as the Lord prunes you, remember this, you're being pruned because the Lord knows that you're fruitful. So the Lord continue to prune, the Lord continue to love you. Father, we thank You for Your amazing love, that You, my King, the branch of righteousness, had come to die for me. Father, thank You for the amazing love. Thank You for the amazing love that I know to be true in my spirit. Lord, we end with just listening to the song and remembering that, Lord, it's our joy to honor You. So, Father, we thank You for my brother and sister, whatever we do, as we serve the kids, as we study, as we go out there to talk to people, even as we are humbled by You, as we come under your guidance and come under Your leadership, Holy Spirit, we say in our lives, it's a joy to honor You. So, Father, we thank You, we bless You. Pray for my brother and sister, Lord, as they go back to work, to the banks, to the hospital, to the lecture theatres, to the law firm, to the courts, to the startups, to just driving, Grab, or to the army, whatever we do back in school, may what we do bring honor to your name. So Father, we thank you. Release your anointing right now to all my brothers and sisters here. Cause them to rise up for this kingdom that will not be shaken. Father, we thank you. The all-consuming fire, prune us, love us, so that we'll do this kingdom work that will please your name. Father, we thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We'll see you next week. God bless you.